This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. Lots to talk about this hour. And we are, of course, following that Virginia shooting at a baseball field that has injured one congressman, Steve Scalise, a Republican from Louisiana, as well as several congressional aides and Capitol Police. Todd Zwillick will have more on that coming up. But we begin with the Capitol Hill drama that has enveloped the U.S. government since before the inauguration. If James Comey, as a private citizen testifying last week before the Senate Intelligence Committee, looked like the Lone Ranger, then this week Attorney General Jeff Sessions looked like the Riddler.
Did you have any communication with any Russian businessmen or any Russian nationals?
I don't believe I had any conversation with Russian businessmen or Russian nationals.
Are you aware
Although
of any communication?
A lot of people were at the convention. It's conceivable that somebody
sir,
came
sir,
up
I have
to me.
Just a few.
Will you let me qualify it? If I don't qualify it, you'll accuse me of lying. So I need to be correct as best I can.
I do want you to be honest.
And I'm not able to be rushed this fast. It makes me nervous.
The central premise of Sessions' testimony was that on the one hand, he can't speak about anything concerning conversations he may have had with the president, and that his much-discussed recusal from the entire Russian hacking, influence, and collusion investigation is just a minor administrative detail.
Many have suggested that my recusal is because I felt I was a subject of the investigation myself, that I may have done something wrong, but this is the reason I recused myself. I felt I was required to, under the rules of the Department of Justice, and as a leader of the Department of Justice, I should comply with the rules, obviously.
For a good part of the more than two-hour testimony, Sessions either couldn't recall or refused to answer questions.
I do not have any recollection.
I do not remember.
I don't recall it.
I just don't remember.
I don't have any recollection of it. I still do not recall it.
Was he invoking executive privilege? A frustrated Senator Martin Heinrich of New Mexico couldn't get an answer on that one.
You took an oath. You raised your right hand here today, and you said that you would solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And now you're not answering questions. You're impeding this investigation. There is no appropriateness bucket. It is not a legal standard. Can you tell me what are these longstanding DOJ rules that protect conversations made in the executive without invoking executive privilege?
But it was a persistent Democratic Senator Ron Wyden who got the Attorney General really frustrated.
Mr. Comey said that there were matters with respect to the recusal that were problematic, and he couldn't talk about them. What are they?
Why don't you tell me? There are none, Senator Wyden. There are none. I can tell you that for absolute certainty. This is a secret innuendo being leaked out there about me, and I don't appreciate it.
Roy L. Austin, Jr. is a partner at Harris, Wiltshire, and Grannis, and former U.S. Deputy Assistant Attorney General of the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice from 2010 to 2014. He joins us now. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Is this the way an attorney general typically responds to oversight from the Senate?
Well, first of all, in demeanor, I just found him defensive and constantly defensive. None of the questions were a surprise. He obviously knew what this was about. But I also found him shockingly unprepared and found the whole thing kind of amateurish. You know what the questions are going to be. You have an opportunity to talk to your counsel, the Department of Justice, to White House counsel, and you provide what, by my count, was about 25 I don't knows or I don't recalls when you even were trying to answer the question.
I described him as the Riddler at the top of this broadcast. And, you know, he does set up some things which legally I wonder if you could decipher. Is it true that he can't talk about anything that relates to a conversation with the president?
Absolutely not true. And I want to note he was contradictory about that because Senator Burr asked him specifically about that and said something like, you couldn't have had a conversation with the president about the investigation because you were never briefed on it. And he said that is correct. But then every time he was asked by a Democratic senator about those same conversations, he said, well, I can't talk about it. And then they asked him, well, what is the legal basis for you not being able to talk about it? He said, well, the president may at some point exercise his executive privilege. Well, you know before you get there whether the president is going to do that, and it's your duty to then come prepared to the hearing and either say the president is exercising it or he is not, and I can answer your question. I note that Sessions wanted, Attorney General Sessions wanted this to be in the public, presumably so he could explain. I don't know why you want it in the public so you can say, I don't know, I don't recall, and I'm going to exercise this thing that says I can't talk even though I don't really know whether I can or cannot.
In his opening statement, he emphasized collusion. He thinks, apparently, that collusion with the Russians is the only issue here, and or at least the one that relates to him. Is he correct in that?
Absolutely not. That's the only issue. That's certainly one of the issues here. But it's the entire relationship between the United States and Russia. It's the idea that Russia could have interfered with our election, or in fact, basically, as every intelligence agency has apparently said, Russia definitely did interfere. You would think as Attorney General, as someone who was up for Attorney General, as someone who was on the president-elect at the time foreign relations team, he would actually have at least a little bit of curiosity about Russia's possible role in influencing or at least trying to influence our election.
On the question of the firing of James Comey, I have a couple of things to ask about that, but your impressions of his account of how that went down.
My impression is that this man is possibly the worst boss ever. And I say that because, first of all, James Comey has served this country repeatedly and has done so honorably. And yet you're going to claim that he had some kind of problem with his own employees at the FBI and never once have a conversation with him about that to say, hey, you know, Director Comey, hey James, maybe we can do something to fix that relationship you have with your people in the FBI. Well, we all know that was completely fabricated and untrue. The second thing is Comey comes to him and says, the president is having these conversations with me that I'm not comfortable with. And then Sessions puts that entirely on James Comey. Well, it's Sessions' job to go to the president and say, Mr. President, you cannot be having these types of conversations with the FBI director. And beyond that, he absolutely should have said to James Comey, well, what exactly were these conversations? And according to the testimony yesterday, he never even tried to find out what the conversations were that made Director Comey uncomfortable.
Am I wrong, or did the Attorney General try to have us believe yesterday that he was never briefed, there was never any discussion of Comey's massive incompetence within the FBI, and then all of a sudden, when he was approached by the president or someone else about the firing of James Comey, that he said, oh yeah, we knew that was going to happen?
You know, and actually Rod Rosenstein noted that back on May 8th, I believe it is, he knew that the president was planning to fire Director Comey. Well, how did Rod Rosenstein know this? And we know that Sessions was at that meeting. You do not fire the FBI director without saying, well, you know, Mr. President, why do you want to fire him? And according to him, he never had that conversation. And you know this is pretext. You absolutely know this is pretext, because not once in Rosenstein's letter does he mention that there's some kind of internal dissension within the FBI, which is the thing that then Sessions cited. Well, where does Sessions get that from? It really, the entire testimony yesterday was largely a waste of time, beyond the fact that it showed how amateurish, how incoherent Attorney General Sessions is.
Now, this isn't a partisan question, is it? I mean, you're not just saying that because you worked for a Democratic president.
You know, I worked for a Democratic president, but I am someone who truly believes in the Department of Justice. I was in the Department of Justice under Republican and under Democratic presidents. And I really and truly, I love the institution that is the Department of Justice. And I love the idea that it is seeking the truth and it is seeking justice. I feel that what this president has done and what this attorney general is doing to that institution is unforgivable. And that is why I'm troubled by it. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or you are a Republican. First of all, if you have oversight and you're asked to come and testify in front of Congress, you tell the truth. and you come there prepared to do so. Secondly, you don't fire the director of the FBI, the single most important investigative agency in the Department of Justice, without having a thorough review of the reasons why you're doing it, and you don't do it for pretextual reasons and try to pass that by the American public.
Finally, it seems as though Attorney General Sessions regards his recusal from the Russia investigation as just simply following some a rule in the employee's manual at the Department of Justice, that it's not an indication in any way that he is involved in any of this. Number one, is that true? And number two, as a result of this testimony, is Sessions out of the line of fire, do you think?
I certainly do not think he is done answering questions here in any way, shape, or form. Again, this is why this was so kind of unbelievable. He says that from the moment he walked into the Attorney General's office, he treated this whole Russian thing as though he was recused. Well, that's absolutely not true, because you don't have this kind of casual, I'm recused. You have to announce it to people that you are, in fact, recused, and then there are steps that are taken to make sure the information doesn't come to you. It took him 3 weeks to recuse himself, and it wasn't until people identified the fact that in response to Senator Franken's questions, he was less than honest. It wasn't until that point that he decided he had to recuse himself. If he knew from the beginning he was recusing himself because he made some promise to Senator Feinstein, then he would have done so in a formal fashion from the moment he walked through that door.
Roy L. Austin Jr. is a partner at Harris, Wiltshire & Grannis and a former U.S. Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice from 2010 to 2014. Roy Austin, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.
Attorney General Sessions did have some defenders at the hearing yesterday. Here's Republican Senator from Oklahoma, James Langford, recalling the Obama years, and Attorney General Eric Holder.
It seems to be a short memory about some of the statements Eric Holder would and would not make to any committee in the House or the Senate, and would or would not turn over documents, even requested. That had to go all the way through the court system to finally the courts having to say no. The president can't hold back documents, and the attorney general can't do that. So somehow some accusation that you're not saying every conversation about everything. There's a long history of attorney generals standing beside the president saying there are some conversations that are confidential.
Remember, we always want to hear your take. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE, especially if you've had conversations with the president.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.